Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. We're so excited that you've joined us today as we continue in this powerful series, How the Church Meets Your Deepest Needs. Together, we're uncovering the joy and strength that comes from being a part of God's family. All right, here we go with part one of a message called Sharing Your Hope with Others.
We're in part three of a 48-day journey on how God meets your five deepest needs through a local church family. So if you get out your message notes, one of your deepest needs is to leave a legacy behind you. Now, some people try to do this through accomplishments or through achievements or through writing a book or building the building, put their name on it. But you know what? All of those things are going to leave a temporary legacy because they're all going to fade away. The only thing that's going to last forever that's here alive right now on planet Earth is God's family, the church, and the people that are in it. So if you really want to leave a lasting legacy, if you really want to make an eternal impact, the greatest thing you can do is bring somebody else into God's family with you. The greatest thing you can do for somebody is to secure their eternal salvation. Because when you do that, guess what? That person will thank you for the entire rest of eternity. I'm in heaven because of you. There's no greater legacy than bringing somebody into the family of God. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at sharing your hope with others, one of the five purposes of God for his church and for your life. And Jesus has a lot to say about this. In fact, he talked about it over and over and over. So let's begin with me pointing out just maybe four of the many, many statements of Jesus about sharing your hope with other people. That's talking about Christ to people who don't know Jesus yet, who haven't began that friendship. Let's look at a few verses. There at the top of your outline in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, "Wherever you go in the world, tell everyone the good news." Now, I want you to notice he says, "Wherever you go," in other words, as you're going, it's not like you have to make a special trip. He says, "Wherever you go, just talk to me, talk to other people about me, anywhere. Could be at the grocery store, could be at school, could be in a workout. When you go to a soccer game, when you go to a party," he says, "everywhere you go, share the good news about me." Then Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "You will be my witnesses." Now I want you to circle that word, witnesses. God has called you to be a witness for him in the world. If you're a child of God, if you're in the family of God, then he says, "I want you to be my witness." Now, do you know, in a courtroom, the difference between an attorney and a witness? Big difference. An attorney's job is to make the case. An attorney's job is to present the evidence. An attorney's job is to call for a decision. That's not your job. He says, he didn't say, "You will be my attorneys." He says, "You will be my witnesses." What does a witness do? A witness just says, "I saw this. That guy walked from point A to point B. I saw this happen." All you do is tell your story. God doesn't expect you to be a defense attorney for him. He doesn't need any attorneys. But he does expect you to be a witness and say, "This is what happened in my life." Now, another verse where Jesus talks about sharing your hope is in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19 and 20, which, as we know, is called the Great Commission. And Jesus says, "I have been given all authority." Why? Because he created the universe, so he's been given all authority over the universe. So, he says, "I've been given all authority, so go make disciples." Now, these were some of the very last words of Jesus before he goes back to heaven. It's called the Great Commission. It's what this Saddleback Church was built on, that verse, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And we, he says, have been authorized to do this by Jesus, who holds all the authority in the universe. So really, you are an agent of God. He says, "I've been given all authority in the world, and so I'm authorizing you to go make disciples." That means bring people into the family of God. Help them become followers of Jesus. Then one other verse that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he actually said this verse at the very beginning of his ministry as opposed to at the end. And he gathers a small group of fishermen and carpenters and just normal, ordinary people. None of them had been to school. None of them had any higher education. And he says this, follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. Now, these are some of the very first words of Jesus to his followers, and I want you to note the logic. He says, follow me, and I'll teach you to fish for men. So the logic is, if you're not fishing, you're not really following. Hello? If you're not really fishing, you're not following. He says, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of people, teach you how to fish for people. The proof that you are truly in God's family is that you're bringing other people into God's family. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Have you ever led anybody to faith in Christ? Now, those are four verses from Jesus. Let me give you one more from Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul tells us, we are Christ's ambassadors. God uses us to speak as though Christ himself is making this appeal. God wants you to connect with him in a friendship. The word for that in the theological term is the word reconciliation. God wants you to connect with him in a friendship, to be reconciled to God. Now he says, we're ambassadors. What's an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is somebody who's a representative of a higher power. They don't actually have the power, but they represent the Queen of England or the President of the United States or the government of Germany or the government of China or Argentina or the Philippines. And these countries send out ambassadors all around the world. And the Bible says that God says, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. That means everywhere you go, you represent Jesus. Now, you're either a good ambassador or a bad one. You are an ambassador. You are a witness. The only question is whether you're an effective one or an ineffective one. Now, by the way, this is where the term Christian comes from. You know, the word Christian actually just means little Christ. And as the church began to grow after Jesus was resurrected, then these little Christs, these ambassadors of Jesus, went out all over the Middle East and then all over Europe. And that's where we get the term Christian or Christian. It means I'm just a little Christ, I'm an ambassador. Now, from just these four verses, we can conclude an important fact about your life. I want you to write this down. The four verses by Christ and the one verses quote from Paul. Write this down. My job in God's family is to invite others to join us. My job in God's family is to invite others to join us in God's family. Now, I know what many of you are thinking. You're thinking, you know, Rick, I'm just not qualified to do this. And you think it requires some kind of special personality, or you have to be a salesman and you have to be good at closing the deal and persuading people. And maybe it requires a personality trait that you don't possess, or maybe you're shy or you have no confidence in doing this. Well, what I want to do today in this message is two things. First, I want to share with you five things that you need to remember that are going to give you confidence. If you'll remember these things, you'll have confidence in being an ambassador of Jesus Christ and in sharing your hope in Christ. Five things to remember. Then I want to give you six things that you can actually do this week from God's Word. Practical ways of how to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ and how to share your hope with others. All right, so first, let's look at five things to remember that are going to give you confidence. Are you ready? Write these down. Number one. Everybody I meet has the same longings that I do. Everybody you meet, everybody I meet, have the same inner longings that I do, that you do. You see, you didn't stop becoming a human being when you were born again into the family of God. You still have the same basic human drives and desires and longings that everybody else does. Why? Because God created us all. God put those longings in us. In the Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, the first part of that verse says this, God has planted eternity in the human heart. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that we all have dreams that there's more to life than we're experiencing. And the fact is, it's true. there is a whole lot more to life than we're experiencing. Because there's so much more to life than just getting out of bed and going to work and coming home to sleep and repeating the process over and over and over. Every human being was made for so much more than just get up, go to work, sleep, and go back to work. Instinctively inside ourselves, every human being knows that something is missing. And we try to fill that heart, we try to fill that hole in our heart with many different things. But it's a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. You can't fill it with sex or salary or status or money or passions or possession or position. We try to fill it with so many different things. You know, today, many people have built their lives on trying to achieve what is called the good life. In other words, looking good, feeling good, having the goods. The only problem with the good life is it's not good enough. It leaves us unsatisfied. It doesn't quench our hunger for meaning and significance. And that hunger can only be filled, only be satisfied with what Bible calls the better life. The better life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, in the Message paraphrase says this, Jesus included everyone in his death so everyone could be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life. You might circle that if you're taking notes. A far better life than people ever lived on their own. This is not the good life. There's something better than the good life. It's the better life. Jesus says it again in John chapter 10, verse 10. Again, the Message paraphrase. He says, I've come so that you can have real life and eternal life. Real and eternal life. A better life than you ever dreamed of. So what am I saying? That when we share our hope with other people, what we have to offer people is exactly what everyone is looking for, because we all have the same deep longings in life. We all long for security. Doesn't matter what religious background you have. We all long for a sense of self-worth. We all long for significance. We want our lives to matter. We all have a longing for belonging, to feel that we're connected to a family. We all have a yearning for learning, to feel like we're growing and developing and becoming more than we used to be. We all have a hunger for meaning and for purpose and for direction in life. And only our Creator can provide these things. Now, what am I saying? That what we're offering to people is what everybody's looking for. We all have the same basic longings. Now, not only does everybody you meet have the same longings that you do, number two, everybody has the same questions. Everybody that you meet, whether they're a believer or non-believer, have the exact same questions that you do. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible in this part says this, none of us can ever fully understand all God has done, but he puts questions in our minds about the past and about the future. You know all those questions you have in your mind? They're from God. What are those questions that God puts in your mind? Questions like, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? Does my life have any purpose? What happens after I die? What is my significance? What is the meaning of everything that happens to me? These are not small questions. But they're the questions that everybody asks. And so when you talk to people, the answer to the fundamental questions of life are found in Jesus Christ and in his word. Let me give you a third thing that you need to remember that'll give you confidence in sharing your hope. Number three, most people don't really know what they believe. In fact, they often contradict themselves. You know, people are often quick to label themselves. They'll say, you know, I'm a Muslim, or I'm a Buddhist, like that's going to shut you down, or I'm a Hindu, or I'm an atheist, or I'm some brand of Christianity, or whatever. But you know what I've discovered, having talked to thousands of people, that when you scratch beneath the surface, you often find that people who adopt a certain label don't even know what that belief system believes. Last week, I was in Washington, D.C., and I started a conversation with my taxi driver, and he said, I'm a Muslim. But you know what? As I engaged him, I discovered he knew almost nothing about Islam. I probably knew more than he did. In fact, at one point, he even said, you know, I think we all believe the same thing. Well, I guarantee you, Muhammad would certainly have agreed with that. He would have disagreed with that. We don't all believe the same thing. So if you think we do, it means you don't even know what you believe. So don't be turned off by titles and labels that people use as defenses. And by the way, a lot of people claim to believe a certain way, but they sure don't act that way. For instance, I've had a lot of people tell me, well, you know, Rick, there are no absolutes in life. Well, first place, that's nonsense. That is an absolute statement. So you're contradicting yourself by the statement itself. But they say, there are no absolutes in life. But I want to ask, do you stop at every stoplight? Well, yeah. They live by rules that are based on absolutes every single second of their lives. Most people are inconsistent. And they contradict themselves over and over, and they're confused. But when you share your hope in Christ, it helps bring clarity to their lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says this, God is not a God of confusion. Okay? God is not a God of confusion, but he's a God of peace. And in John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, when you know the truth will set you free. Free from confusion, free from contradiction, free from all these other things that bind up your life. Now, here's a little secret that you need to understand about human behavior. Are you ready for this? People make almost all of their decisions, make almost all of their choices in life based on emotions. And then they go look for intellectual reasons to back up their emotional decisions. We only use logic often to back up an emotional decision that we want to make. And we make it on our gut or on our feelings, on our emotions. You know, I meet so many Christians who are afraid of being a witness, of talking to anybody about the Lord, because they think they're going to have to argue intellectual ideas. When the truth is, most intellectuals are making their decisions based on emotions and feeling. And anyone can deal with emotions and can deal with feelings. You don't have to be an intellectual to do that. Let me give you a fourth thing. Write this down. Anyone can be saved if I listen for the key to their heart. Anyone can be saved if I listen for the key to their heart. And that key is their unmet need or hidden hurt. Their unmet need or hidden hurt. You know, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says this, everyone falls short of God's glorious ideal. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that I don't measure up to my own standards, much less God's perfect standards. And it means that we all have habits and we all have hurts and we all have hang-ups and we all live in a broken world. We all fall short of God's glorious ideals. So guess what? We all have hurts and habits and, you know, things in our lives that are secret that we don't want other people to know about. You can discern these things by listening to what is the deepest hurt in a person's heart. And if you discern that, guess what? You've just discovered how to lead them to Jesus. Now, listen to this. There's only one way to God the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But there are many reasons and many ways that people come to Jesus. Did you hear that? There's only one way to God the Father. That's through Jesus. But there are many reasons that people come to Jesus. Some people came to Jesus for a miracle. Some came to Jesus because of a question. Some came out of loneliness. And the same is true today. Some people come with questions and loneliness. Some people come out of guilt and shame. Other people come to Christ because they're afraid. They're going through a fearful experience. Some people are looking for purpose. Some people have a physical need that draws them to God. Others have an emotional need that draws them to God. Others have a relational crisis or a financial crisis. There are thousands of different reasons people turn to God. Stress and pain and suffering all have a way of getting our attention. Now, if you really want to reach somebody for the Lord, you find their felt need or their hidden hurt, their unmet need, and you'll find that this is the key to opening up the conversation. That means you're going to have to listen. Number five, fifth thing you need to remember, and this is going to give you confidence. Remember this, people have excuses, but we have God's Holy Spirit and the truth. They only have excuses. They only have, you know, their excuses, but we have God's Holy Spirit in us and we have the truth. And in that matchup, The Holy Spirit and the truth are always going to win eventually. You see, you're not alone when you share your hope in Christ. God is with you. And the Holy Spirit is working in that other person's heart while you're talking. They've only got themselves. You've got you and God's Holy Spirit. That should give you a lot of confidence. 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8 in the Living Bible says this, "The Holy Spirit, God's gift to you, does not want you to be afraid of people." He doesn't want you to be afraid of people, but he wants you to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. And if you will stir up this inner power, God's power inside you, his Holy Spirit, you will never be afraid to tell others about our Lord. That's 2 Timothy. You'll never be afraid to tell others about the Lord if you realize the Holy Spirit's power and God's truth is in you. You know, another verse that deals with this is in Luke chapter 21. In verses 13 to 15, contemporary English version, Jesus says this. He's talking to his followers. "This will be your chance to tell others about your faith. But don't worry about what you'll say to defend yourselves. I will give you the wisdom to know what to say." So many times we get anticipatory fear. We think, I don't know what to say to that person at the office. I don't know what to say to that person, that soccer mom or that neighbor. Well, God says, I will tell you what to say when you need it. And you'll find that God does it in such an amazing way.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you. That's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow Him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.